Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Conference Call. Today we are fortunate to have Har K.S. Malathi Prabhu to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 5th Chapter, verse 3 onwards. Before I hand over call to you, I would like to hand over call to Lalita Mataji for reading brief introduction of Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Lalita Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada Guru. Please take over the call, Mataji.
Thank you. Present my humble obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and all the Guru Maharajas and all the beautiful assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. I want to read the introduction for my beloved God sister. Malathi Prabhu joined ISKCON in San Francisco and was initiated by Srila Prabhupada in January 1967, becoming an integral part of the pioneer years of ISKCON. In 1968, along with her six-week-old daughter, Sarasvati, Malathi was part of a team of six adults to first establish Krishna consciousness in the UK. This epic adventure resulted in the release of the Radha Krishna Temple album in 1969, produced by Beatle George Harrison. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and other devotional songs are featured on this recording, which received worldwide attention. She often traveled with her husband, Shama Sundar, who was Srila Prabhupada's personal secretary. Among other tasks, Malathi was personally cooking for Srila Prabhupada. From UK, they moved to India to assist in establishing the Hare Krishna movement there, bringing it back to its source. During her sojourn, she assisted with the purchase and shipping of several sets of temple murtis to establish deity worship services in American temples and Canada, for Detroit, Dallas, Toronto, Chicago, and more recently, Farmington Hills, Michigan, as well as the small Radha Krishna deities in Germany, as well as the Shishi Radha Gopinath with Lalita and Vishak in Radhadesh. She returned to the UK for some time to assist in establishing the property known as Bhaktivedanta Manor in Watford, London, acquired with the help of George Harrison. While in Europe, she conducted traveling programs for women, preaching Krishna consciousness in Netherlands, Belgium, France, and Denmark, propagating Krishna conscious philosophy, practice, and distributing books of Srila Prabhupada. In 1990, she established an all-ladies ISKCON temple in Columbus, Ohio, which later was awarded a large roadside-sized bronze plaque by the State of Ohio Historical Society, recognizing the center as the first Vaishnav Hindu temple in the state, mentioning its unique status as a center for training women in Krishna consciousness. In 1998, Malathi Prabhu became the first woman appointed to the GBC, and her responsibilities are focused in the United States. Her zonal areas include Kentucky, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, and Western Pennsylvania. A founding member of the Vaishnavi ministry, formerly known as the Women's Ministry, Malathi Prabhu facilitates such activities as annual international retreats targeted at promoting the spiritual advancement of women in ISKCON. These retreats are highly organized events offering classes, seminars, and workshops by some of the more senior women in the movement and reflect the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Prior to the COVID era, Malathi Prabhu spent most of her time traveling, offering classes and instructions in Krishna conscious practice and philosophy, and she holds deep concern for the future of ISKCON in general and for the youth and women in particular. She advocates engaging women in all manners of service inspired by Srila Prabhupada, who always engaged his spiritual daughters in service. She co-authored Bond of Love, Srila Prabhupada and His Daughters, a book that is a compilation of 305 personal remembrances by female disciples of Srila Prabhupada, ISKCON's dearmost founder, Acharya. This book is available on Amazon.com. We welcome you so much, my dear Malathi. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Lalita Mataji, for reading the introduction of Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Malathi Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam, all goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now I would like to hand over call to you, Prabhuji. Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Good morning to everybody. Before I begin, just this moment, I got a message, and I would like to read the message. It's short, and request prayers. This is for His Grace Pankajandri Prabhu, who some of you may already know that he had tested positive for the virus. But yesterday, there was a CT scan, and this confirmed that the virus had reached his lungs. And his coughing became very, very worse. So he's been given a diet rest pattern of recovery, but he's having high fever, breathing problems, taking oxygen. So everyone is requested to kindly chant and offer your sincere prayers on behalf of His Grace Pankhanjung Riprabhu, who has been serving. I've lost track of him. You know, it's decades, over 5 decades serving as pujari along with his brother in Mayapur. So this just came when I was came on the screen. So very happy to be with all of you, although I don't know where everybody is, but I was really pleased to see Ladlita Devi. I haven't seen you for, it's been quite a while. And I hope maybe later this year I will be able to see you when I go to California in September. So today we're continuing from this 5th chapter, Lord Vishabhdev's teachings to his sons, 5:5-3 in this verse. And maybe we can chant Jai Radha Madhava before beginning, just briefly. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Gopi Jana Balaba Nidhivarathari, Gopi Jana Balaba. Yasoda Nandana, Brajaja Narandana. Yasoda Nandana, Brajaja Narandana. Yasoda Nandana, Brajaja Narandana. Yamunatira Vanachari, Yamunatira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Anja Kalpa Turugasa Kripa Sindhu Vaya Vicha Patitana Pavane Vimbiyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So is my habit to read first the word by word in translation before reading the actual verse, give some idea what we are speaking of. So the synonyms, yea, those who, va, or, mayi, unto me. Ise, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krita Swarsida Artha, very eager to develop love in a relationship of Dasya, Sakya, Vitsalya, and Madhurya. Daneshu, to people. Dehambara Vartikseshu, who are interested only in maintaining the body, not in spiritual salvation. Griheshu, to the home. Jaya, wife. Atma, Ja, children. Rati, wealth, our friends. Matsu, consisting of. Na, not. Priti, yuta, very attached. Yavat Artha, who live by collecting only as much as required, Cha, and Loke in the material world. So the text three. Yeva maise krita sori darta janeshu deham baravati kishu parti kishu griheshu jayatma jarati matsu natriti yukta yavaratas chaloke yeva maise krita sori darta janeshu deham baravati kishu griheshu jayatma jarati matsu So, does anybody from the audience also want to chant the verse? Do you do that or do you just continue? Okay, no answer. So then I will continue for the translation. And just one quick question, is the sound all right? Is everybody able to hear properly?
Yes, Prabhu, we can hear.
Okay, thank you. So the translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada along with his transcendental purport, which the purports by Srila Prabhupada are uniquely amazing because he explained to us at one point, he mentioned this two or three times, that when he would sit down to write, to translate, Krishna would come and dictate to him. And therefore, he was only writing what Krishna told him. So when you consider that, these purports take on a whole new meaning, very deep, and definitely no chance of mental speculation. So the translation, those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness and increasing their love of Godhead do not like to do anything that is not related to Krishna. They are not interested in mingling with people who are busy maintaining their bodies, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They're not attached to their homes, although they may be householders, nor are they attached to their wives, children, friends, or wealth. At the same time, they are not indifferent to the execution of their duties. Such people are interested in collecting only enough money to keep the body and soul together. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Whether he is an impersonalist or a devotee, one who is actually interested in advancing spiritually should not mingle with those who are simply interested in maintaining the body by means of the so-called advancement of civilization. Those who are interested in spiritual life should not be attached to homely comforts in the company of wife, children, friends, and so forth. Even if one is a grihastha and has to earn his livelihood, he should be satisfied by collecting only enough money to maintain body and soul together. One should not have more than that or less than that. As indicated herein, a householder should endeavor to earn money for the execution of Bhakti Yoga, Shravanam Kirtana Vishnu, Smaranam Padasevanam, Archanam Vandanam, Dasyam Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. This, of course, from Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23. A grihastha should lead such a life that he gets full opportunity to hear and chant. He should worship the deity at home, observe festivals, invite friends in and give them prasad. A householder should earn money for this purpose, not for sense gratification. In translation again, those who are, and maybe people can just read the translation together, it's good to repeat. So, those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness and increasing their love of Godhead do not like to do anything that's not related to Krishna. They are not interested in mingling with people who are busy maintaining their bodies, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. They're not attached to their homes, although they may be householder, nor are they attached to wives, children, friends, or wealth. At the same time, they are not indifferent to the execution of their duties. Such people are interested in collecting only enough money to keep the body and soul together. Om Agyan Timarandasya Janana Sapalaya Chaktu Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Piskatita Satarane. Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhar, Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So this verse is giving a very clean-cut expression of the purpose and means of household life. And it may sound somewhat uncomfortable unless it's properly understood in the proper way. In one purport where I cannot remember the actual verse, but Prabhupada said that the householder is duty bound to maintain the members of all three other ashrams, namely brahmacharis, vanaprasth, and sannyasis. In this way, every member of society is given a chance to retire for a higher order of spiritual culture, and the householders neglect no one. That in itself is a very beautiful instruction. Prabhupada mentioned in a letter to Gopal Krishna at the time he was grihast, and it was in mid-69, and Prabhupada said in this letter, "Well, I know in India that many foolish persons think by reading Bhagavad Gita, one is apt to renounce the world. In other words, that makes them nervous. This is complete foolishness. Arjuna was a family man, a soldier, and he was directly taught the principles of Bhagavad Gita, but he never renounced the world nor the battlefield. I don't know why there are certain crazy men who think like this, that even if a man becomes a devotee, he will have no more interest in worldly affairs. We are not Mayavadis. We do not state that the world is false. We say if Krishna is truth, the whole world is truth also, because the world is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. So if Krishna is true, how can his energy be false?" So Srila Prabhupada was always keeping things to the point, keeping clarity on the topic. In the third canto, in one purport, in these purports, again, they are coming to Prabhupada through Krishna. Prabhupada is the ultimate transparent via medium. So by Vedic injunction, the wife is accepted as the better half of a man's body, because she is supposed to be responsible for discharging half the duties of the husband. And a family man has a responsibility to perform five types of sacrifices called pancha yagya in order to get relief from the unavoidable sinful reaction incurred in the course of his daily affairs. So this pancha yagya, sometimes known as pancha mahab yagya, just in a nutshell, there are five yagyas or sacrifices to be performed by every householder. And they are Brahma Yagya, also known as the Veda Yagya, which is an homage to Brahman or the Vedas or the sages. Second is Deva Yajna, means homage to the gods and the elementals. Third is Pitri Yajna, which is homage to their ancestors. And the fourth is Bhuta Yajna, which is homage to the beings, all living beings. And the fifth is Manushya Yajna, which is homage to man. So, of course, it is said that anyone in the material world, however careful one may be, will commit sinful activities. The example is, even though one doesn't want to, we don't want to do it. But for example, we're just walking, even in our homes or in the temple, and there'd be other little insects, and they're walking on the street or on the floor of our residence or in the temple. And we don't know that. We don't see them. So unknowingly, we may kill so many entities. So this Vedic principle of Pancha Yajna, the five kinds of recommended sacrifices, considered by some to be compulsory. However, we are given a greater opportunity, because performing these type of yajnas are mostly in terms of a materialistic concept. I'm killing something. I don't want to be held responsible. I want to pay my respects to the sages. That's okay. That's also good. But generally, we want something in return. And the homage to the ancestors, of course, is to ensure that their eternal well-being, that they are cared for, and so on. So there's a point that rests within some form of materialistic activity. However, in the age of Kali, there's a great concession given to people in general in terms of yajna. Yajnai sankirtan prayer yajantihi sumeda saha. So this, of course, very famous verse from 11th canto. And it's saying how we may worship Lord Chaitanya, the hidden incarnation of Krishna. Krishna varnam to Krishnam. Although he is Krishna himself, he's always chanting Hare Krishna, and he preaches Krishna consciousness. We're surrounded by unlimited sins, and therefore it's compulsory to take to Krishna consciousness and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, in other words, this is a much more beneficial yajna, because not only do we eradicate unintentional sinful activities, but we become more fully conscious of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and develop a loving relationship with him. Just by this beautiful Sankirtan Yajna of chanting Hare Krishna. And in another purport in third canto, Prabhupada mentioned, it is especially mentioned that the means of livelihood for those who are trying to advance in Krishna consciousness must be very fair and uncomplicated. One who earns his livelihood by unfair means, Kevalena is meant, will be sent to the darkish hellish region. However, if one maintains his family by prescribed methods and honest means, there's no objection to one's being a family man, family purpose. So on one hand, we know in this world, everything, every effort, there is going to be some incompatible or unwanted reaction, and the example is this: you have a fire, you want fire to cook for heat, but then there's smoke. You didn't want smoke, you want a fire, but the smoke comes along with it. So that is the problem with activities in the material world, even well-intentioned ones. But these problems are mitigated by the performance of the Harinam Sankirtan Yajna, chanting Hare Krishna. And again, Prabhupada mentioned that householder is duty bound to maintain the other three members of ashrams. And the reason is that the brahmacharis, the vanaprasas, and the sannyasis are all, they've curtailed their necessities of life to the minimum. And therefore, said no one should begrudge maintaining them for their bare necessities of life. But then he gave, there was a some talk he was giving, and he was mentioning in Kali Yuga, however, the entire system has gone topsy-turvy. The student lives in luxury at the expense of the father or the father-in-law. And when the educated, indulgent, this is his words, the educated, indulgent student becomes a householder by the strength of university degrees, he requires money by all means for all kinds of bodily comfort. And therefore, he cannot or won't even spare even a penny for the so-called vanaprasa and sannyasis. And then he launches into a critique of the vanaprasa and sannyasis nowadays are those who were unsuccessful in family life. Kind of like sour grapes, that just didn't work, so I'll become vanaprasa, I'll become sannyas, without the actual mood of required for renunciation, which is to develop God consciousness. Thus, the so-called sannyasis try to construct another home in the name of the sannyas ashram and glide down to all sorts of luxury and at the expense of others. So these varnas and ashrams have now become so many transcendental frauds. This is in The Light of the Bhagavat, if you've read that book, Light of the Bhagavat tone. Prabhupada, he minces no words. He makes things really clear to the point sometimes it's like, we kind of like, ouch, I don't want to hear that, you know. But without hearing properly and understanding properly, we won't get to the stage of self-realization. Those who, in a lecture in New Vrindavan in 1969, he said, those who are Grihastha, family men, their duty is to raise their children in Krishna consciousness so that actually the child will have the full advantage of having a nice parent, nice mother and father. So even though there are comments about the Grihastha life in certain ways that could be taken as in a negative way, when performed in the proper mood, then that becomes something of a positive effect on the family, on the children, and on society in general. So, but at the same time, the need is always being mentioned for detachment. So how does that work? There's a statement that to award fearlessness to the common man is the greatest act of charity. A sannyasi, or one who is in the renounced order of life, should wander from door to door, from village to village, from town to town, and from country to country, all over the world, as far as he can travel, and enlighten the householders about Krishna consciousness. So how do we get, detach from a family and wealth and at the same time, perform our duties conscientiously and caringly and even lovingly? So Prabhupada answers that. We must have firm conviction that Krishna as Paramatma will take care of soul surrendered to him. A firm conviction that Krishna as Paramatma will take care of a surrendered soul. I remember when I was first a devotee, and within the I was initiated 2 or 3 days after Prabhupada arrived in San Francisco in January 67. And I had never been so much inclined towards, getting money. I mean, I had a job, I did work, but it was basically you needed to pay your rent, you needed to buy food, and I didn't have an interest in accumulation, savings and all that. And one of the things that really attracted me, it just spoke to my heart when Prabhupada was telling that, we should only take what we need, as much as we need. And he repeats so often, body and soul together. And he said, for a devotee, there's no concern. He says, Krishna takes care of the very large elephant. Big elephant's eating down to the little ant. So why would he not take care of his devotee? And that was something that just was, no matter my situation, it was a truth that I could live by in Krishna consciousness, that Krishna will take care of his devotee. So then in that conviction, we also think, I shall never be alone, even if I live in the darkest region of the forest. I should be accompanied by Krishna, and he will give protection. Prabhupada said, one must think like this, and this conviction is called abhayam, our fearlessness. So to award fearlessness to the common man, the greatest act of charity, and how do we do this? Is by giving them Krishna consciousness. And that we have to develop our conviction that Krishna will be there. He is there, and he will take care of his devotee. But a person who is a householder and is initiated has the duty to spread Krishna consciousness at home as far as possible. So Prabhupada describes what should one do. He should call his friends and his neighbors to his house and hold classes in Krishna consciousness. And he explained that holding a class means chanting the holy names of Krishna and speaking from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm going to pause and tell a little story about a devotee. He's now 65. He's had an interesting life in Krishna consciousness because, I'll tell you a little bit. Yesterday, I had a long talk with him. He has spent the last 3 months in a prison. There was no violent crime or sexual crime, that type of nasty business. But he did some incorrect behavior and it was given 3 months. And a fine, which wasn't humongous. I mean, it would be probably uncomfortable for most of us, but you know, he wasn't really a poor person. And so he accepted the situation. So he told me, like, when he went to the prison, you go in and they take all your clothes off and they do a thorough bodily search. So you can imagine what that means. I won't have to describe it. And then they sprayed him down with some kind of disinfectant while he's standing there without any clothes on, sprayed him down head to foot, and then they took some lice powder and put it all over him, and then they gave him some kind of a sheet thing, says go through that door, so a big iron door, so the big iron door opens up and he walks through and he sees this great big huge strong fierce looking black man. So this fellow, the devotee, I won't say his name, but anyway, he is like 65 now. And this other person, more or less of a similar age, but strong. And he kind of looks, glances at him, and he seems like somebody I've seen before, but then he just shrugged it off. And then he turned around and he just like one more time. And that person had turned and was looking at him too. And the person goes, have we met before? I don't think so. Well, where do you live? So he told him, Miami. And he goes, well, did you ever live in Gainesville? Now, it so happened this devotee had lived in Gainesville, not the current edition, but back at Prabhupada's time. And he had actually been part of the well-known Radha Damodar traveling party. And in fact, had arranged funds for a bus, which I'll which will bring up to a lesson that's talking here, being mentioned here, how a householder should earn money in an honest way. So the guy looks and he goes, did you ever live in Gainesville? And so he goes, well, yes, I did. And he gave the address. And the person goes, that's the Hare Krishna temple. You know, he goes, are you a Hare Krishna? And he goes, yes, I'm trying to be. So this fellow, he's also a prisoner, but it turns out he's been there for like 40 years. He's like part of the institution. And so he has a lot of privileges, but he's earned them. And he helps in many ways to the prisoners and helps the administrators. So he goes, so are you still a vegetarian? He goes, yes. He picks it. He has a phone. You don't normally get a phone in prison, but he had this. He got one by the admin. He makes a couple phone calls, so he goes, okay, you don't have to worry. And he puts his arm around and he tells the other prisoners who are kind of looking with suspicion, he goes, this is my bro, so I don't want any one of you to touch him, because you know in prison people can be a little rough. So right there it was like Krishna was covering him. We have that saying, you know, well, so-and-so has my back. Krishna has the back of his devotees. He'll take care of the big elephant to the tiny ant. Why will he not take care of his devotee? Even in a situation where it may not appear very favorable, still, Krishna is taking care of his devotees. I won't get into it too much, but myself and Shyamasundara at one point, we also had to go to prison. Like, it was like at the end of 67. And Prabhupada just said, that's okay. Krishna was born in prison. So anyways, when we got there, Shyamasundara got a job in the prison, in the kitchen, which meant he didn't have to worry about his meals. And I was able to go outside and get a job. I had to, you know, come back every night. But because of that, I didn't have to worry too much either. But Krishna takes care, even if devotees in a situation that's not favorable on one level. So then back to our friend. So then the next morning, all the lights come on 5:15 in the morning. Of course, he's used to waking up early. So he goes out quietly and only cold showers. He goes, wow, I felt like I was back in the Brahmacharya ashram. And he starts walking up down the hallway, and they wouldn't let him have japa beads, so he's counting on his fingers. And a little while later, this Indian man comes out, also a prisoner, and he's watching him. And then he goes, well, what are you? Where are you from? Are you, you know... And he's trying to figure it out. And he goes, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm chanting. Well, what are you chanting? And he said, the Maha Mantra. Oh, do you know Bhagavad Gita? Yes. He said, can you meet me in my, you know, in my cell later? So he said, yeah. So he went there later. And there was four other Indian men, all of them prisoners. And in front of them was a Bhagavad Gita as it is. And they said, do you know this book? And he goes, yeah, I know this book. Well, do you think you could give us classes? I'd be happy to. So then four nights a week, he was giving Bhagavad Gita classes. So again, Krishna protects his devotees and gives devotees an opportunity to spread his glories if the devotee is somehow or other open to serving Krishna in that way. So Prabhupada said, holding class means chanting the holy name of Krishna and speaking from Gita or Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada mentions in another purport that there's immense literature for spreading Krishna consciousness, and it's the duty of every householder to learn about Krishna from his spiritual master. There is a division of labor in the Lord's service, and the householder's duty is to earn money, because sannyasis are not supposed to earn money, but it should be completely dependent on the householder. So the householder should earn money by business or by profession. And then, you know, there's a breakdown. You spend a certain percentage to spread Krishna consciousness, another percentage spend on the family maintenance, and another percentage to save for emergencies. And which I won't go into the percentages, because it's very difficult for most people to actually adhere to that. But the concept is there, how one should handle their finances. And that was famously given, and the example was given by Rupa Goswami. So then Prabhupada is explaining that Gurmadishu Kamashu means householder duties. And there's another word, the Sarvat Manam Rupam. So there's the meaning is that a wife should not only be equal to husband in age, character, and qualities, but must be helpful to him in his household duties. The household duty of a man is not to satisfy his sense gratification, but to remain with the wife and children, and at the same time, advance in Krishna consciousness, in spiritual life. This is the important message here, that the duty of Grihastha life, household man, is not for sense gratification. And of course, we understand in household life, there's, Prabhupada described it, there is a license for sense gratification. So a license is not intended as wholesale. You can do anything. It means within certain restrictions or limitations, just like your driver's license. There's some restrictions or limitations, and you have to follow, and everything's fine. And if you, you know, break the limitations, like let's say you speed or you're driving without your license, whatever, you can be apprehended. You know, you can be punished. So maintain a wife and children, and at the same time, attain spiritual advancement. This is what it is meant to be, a householder. And one who does not do so is not considered a householder, but grihamedi. So the two words in the Sanskrit are the grihastra, and the other is grihamedi. And the difference is that between the grihamedi and the grihastra is that the grihastra is also an ashram, or spiritual order. But if one simply satisfies their material senses, then that is grihamedi, means not grihastra. Grihastha is an ashram, a proper ashram for serving Krishna. And for the grihamedi to accept a wife means to satisfy the senses. But for the grihastra, a qualified wife is an assistant in every respect for advancement in spiritual activities. And it's the duty of the wife to take charge of household affairs and not compete with the husband. A wife is meant to help, but she cannot help her husband unless he is completely equal to her in age, character, and quality. So this is a very profound instruction. And in one way, there's a beautiful simplicity to all of this. And on the other hand, due to our unfortunate entanglement in the material world, we're sometimes at odds, although internally, yes, I want to be like this, but at the same time, we have the pull of life, material life, our mind, body, and senses competing with our desire for spiritual life. So by following these guidelines and these parameters, one can decrease their unnecessary attachments and desires and become more and more aligned with Krishna conscious activities. In the 11th canto, there's a further instruction that we understand that householder life is illusion if his mind is only attached to family, money, children, and as a result, he doesn't have a place in his heart for others. And gradually, if one keeps that consciousness, gradually one develops a miserly mentality that he should only enjoy his money. Whatever is with him belongs to him. There was, so this kind of is a miserly mentality, not caring for others. You know, just this is mine, mine, mine. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta had taken some devotees to Jagannath Puri. And they were coming out of one of the temples. And we know that they're, actually, I think it was Bhubaneswar. But so they're, anyway, they were coming out of the temple. And I mean, we all know in India that in certain regions, you're going to be confronted with people begging. And sometimes they're nice about it, they're silent, and sometimes they're very aggressive. Either way can be a little uncomfortable. because you know you kill one, then phew, out of nowhere comes this whole flock of other persons with their outstretched hands, and suddenly you're like in a quandary what to do. Anyways, he came with his household, and there were the beggars. And the devotees were going, put their heads straight ahead, looking, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And Prabhupada just, Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada, he stops them. And he said, you want to enjoy Lakshmi without Krishna, without Narayan. You want to enjoy. And he chastised them for not being as grihasthas, for not giving in charity to these beggars. And when I was with Srila Prabhupada at the Kumbh Mela in 1971 in Allahabad, every morning he had a sankirtan. And before going, we would empty the hundi, which was by and large coins. In those days, there was 1 paisas, there was anas, which were little tiny, tiny ones, and there was charana, which was like a would be equivalent, like those four anas, and then you'd get four of those four anas, you'd have 1 peso. Not peso, paisa. So 4 paisa made, anyway, there was this whole system. And now we've just basically got rupee notes, you know, sometimes you get a 5 rupee coin, but mostly these little kind of useless pieces of money. So we'd get all that money out of the hundi, we'd go on Harinam Sankirtan, and then by one area where all the beggars would be lined up. It was a special area just for them. And most of these beggars were pretty wretched condition due to leprosy or other, you know, other ailments. And one day, one of the devotees asked, well, you know, wouldn't it be better if we just, gave them prasadam? And Prabhupada looked at us. He said, for them, this is prasadam. You know, so again, there was a lesson how we need, because we were all grihasthas, so that we should not become miserly and think that this is only for my enjoyment. You know? So there's the example. Oh yeah, the Prabhupada said the desire for wealth in women, you know, women, men, whatever, you know, sex life, takes the householder away from the spiritual path when it's desire for enjoyment. And he clearly put out, sense gratification and devotional service don't go well together. So it's a nice little mantra to remember. Sense gratification and devotional service don't go well together. Lord Krishna is calling such a householder as one who is bound in illusion, because such householder does not know or understand that everything belongs to Krishna. So in the Bhagavatam, we have the wonderful example of great devotees like Bali Maharaj. He gave his whole kingdom, ministers, his wife, his children, and he allowed himself to be arrested and disrobed. And he did, I'm sorry, not disrobed, he disobeyed his spiritual master, because the spiritual master was trying to misguide him. So the important point is to note that he surrendered to Lord without any expectations in return, fully surrendered. You know how he just put it. And then Krishna's like, well, what are you going to, you know, what now? And he put his head down, and the Lord stepped on his head. Such a beautiful blessing. And by that surrender, Krishna gave himself to Bali Maharaj as his guard in the Sutala planet. You know, the blessing of the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master is unlimitedly wonderful. When we were on our way to England, we had stopped in Montreal before our departure to see Srila Prabhupada. And on the day of departure, I had actually been the one to put the request, could we touch, you know, ask Govinda Dasi, a servant, can we touch, ask Prabhupada if we can touch his feet. Now, we knew he didn't like that, but I also understood that you touch the saintly person's lotus feet, you get free from something like 10,000 lifetimes of sinful activities. And of course, at that time, I didn't understand you're also dumping your sinful activities on the feet of the saintly person. After I found that out, I could understand why Prabhupada was reluctant to have his feet touched. But still, I was thinking, we're going to England. We really are not going to have any money. We don't know anybody. We had a plan. Our game plan was to meet the Beatles. But, you know, half the world or more wanted to meet the Beatles. So, you know, what about these six Americans and a baby? I mean, who are we? So, I thought we needed all the help we could get. And Prabhupada actually agreed. She asked and he agreed. So just before we were going to leave, he extended his beautiful lotus feet. And one by one, we put our forehead on his lotus feet, except for Jamuna. Jamuna, being a former Catholic, grabbed his lotus feet and kissed them. And kissing is a thing in the Catholics. You know, kiss the hand, or she kissed his lotus feet. She took full advantage of that opportunity. But when we put our heads down, Prabhupada rubbed us, each one of us, in the back of our head, right by the neck. You know, there's a little thing they call the small, that little area at the bottom of the back of the head by the neck. And he just rubbed us. And it was just an amazing experience. You know, I could understand where he always told us, you know, you don't get tapped on the head and get enlightened. But it wasn't that I felt that I was enlightened, but there was a surcharge of spiritual energy. And I felt assured at that moment that whatever was going to happen, however it was going to happen, we were going to be able to successfully begin a temple for Prabhupada in the UK. That mercy from Prabhupada was there. And I always remember that story of Bali, who offered his head and the Lord stepped on his head. So we got that special mercy. So as a Grihastha, one should remember that our role here is like a trustee or a traveler waiting for the train. We have to, you know, when the train comes, we pick up our little suitcase and get on and leave everything else behind. And so the same way, the position of a Grihastha, of a householder, is precarious because he's permitted to enjoy senses like the limited license with his family member, but not allowed to be attached. Kind of difficult, right? He's permitted to earn money, but not allowed to accumulate more than is required. So these are some of the points to help the Grihastha in his journey. I don't know how many of you knew Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj. There's two Mahavishnus, but Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj was the wonderful elderly Gujarati sannyasi. And he wonderfully said, we may have so much with us, but we very well know that the next second I will not be there, and this whole collection of whatever my balance or houses are will be enjoyed by someone else. So it's better that Krishna enjoys. That is the thing. And he was giving this instruction to Grihasthas. When Maharaj Yudhisthira became inquisitive about the occupational duties of Grihastha, Narada Muni advised him that the Grihastha's first duty is to become fully dependent on Vasudeva, on Krishna, and try to satisfy Krishna in all respects by executing one's prescribed devotional service duties. So, and just looking at the time, so I guess there should be time for questions. I'll just kind of move along quickly, and I want to. So there was like a brief message, you know, mention of the duty of the husband, duty of the wife, you know, how they should work together. So in the seventh canto, 14th chapter, you probably all know this one because it's Ideal Family Life. So a whole chapter, Ideal Family Life, devoted to Grihastha Ashram. And sun's hit me right in my eye. So the opening verse is, while working to earn his livelihood as much as necessary to maintain the body and soul together, one who is actually learned should live in human society unattached to human affair, unattached to family affairs, and here's the key, although externally appearing very much attached. And then the prayer part, Prabhupada said, this is the picture of ideal family life. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy about the goal of life, Ramananda Roy described in different ways and according to the recommendations of the revealed scriptures. And then finally, Ramananda Roy explained that one may stay in his position, whether as a Brahmana, Sudra, Sannyasi, householder, or whatever, but he must try to inquire about the goal of life, Ato Brahma Jigyasa, and that is the proper utilization of human form of life. So I'll end with a letter to me from Srila Prabhupada, and specific, again, instructions for Grihastha life. This was from November of 68. We had been in England now just almost about a couple of months, and it was not a smooth ride. We were kind of scattered here and there, not, you know, having, depending on Krishna, and Krishna came through, but it wasn't always how we might have thought or we needed. So, you know, we were scattered here and there, we're living in boarding houses, and so it was a little difficult. And I had a baby that was 6 weeks, so now she's like a couple months old. And of course, there's a husband and, you know, the wife, you're supposed to take care of your husband and child. But I was also doing shopping and cooking for all the other devotees. And so it was kind of awkward. Even sometimes I'd do the laundry because I couldn't go out looking for a place, having a child, the baby so young. So I did those things. And I was finding it really difficult. So I wrote a letter to Prabhupada, and by reading what he wrote back, you'll understand what I asked him. He wrote to me, "You have asked if I found it difficult to carry on devotional service when in my household life. And yes, I did." But then he described what was the difficulty, and it wasn't anything like mine. "In my household life, I was strictly following the regulated principles, but my wife was reluctant to assist me properly. Therefore, I was obliged to give up their company." And I had mentioned, so the next part is also instructive, because I had with me the original small little deities of Jagannath that I had found. And, you know, so in addition to husband, child, the other devotees had these little deities. So he said, so I asked him how to deal with that. And he goes, "You try to take care of Lord Jagannath as far as possible after doing your household duties. But you should be strict only in completing the 16 rounds of chanting." I'll repeat that one. "You should be strict only in completing the 16 rounds of chanting." And he said, "That will save you from all discrepancies. As a householder, even if there are some flaws in following the rules and regulations, it doesn't matter. You should try your best and with Krishna's help." And then he said, "Krishna will help you. If you keep your heart in this attitude that you want to become pure and sincere devotee, then you must be a sincere devotee and Krishna will help you." Twice he asserted, "And Krishna will help you. You have to keep your heart in that way. That is your business. I hope you're well with your child. Your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami." So this was a timeless instruction and advice from the pure devotee. And of course, Prabhupada was a perfect example because he had been through all four ashrams. Sometimes you'll find sannyasis who haven't been part of the Grihastha ashram, and they find it hard to relate to householders. And sometimes the advice they give, although on one level, okay, you're right, but you know, as far as it being practical for a householder, sometimes it's not because they haven't had that experience. And not all of them. But sometimes I've experienced this with them. So Prabhupada was very compassionate, but he was also very clear. And the bottom line is for the householders, there probably will be some discrepancies, but we should only be strict in chanting the 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If anybody has any questions, I can try.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Such a wonderful class. If anybody have any questions or realization, please go ahead, devotees.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Very, very beautiful, beautiful class. I really like at the end you shared the letter conversation. That was very nice. As a grihastha, if other things are not possible for us, first basic thing is chanting 16 rounds. That is the basic thing. At least if you can do that, then our life is successful in Krishna consciousness. The Guru and Krishna will not be, you know, so we don't have much offenses. At least we are in path. Later other things, deity worship and everything, Prabhupada was saying, you know, first is 16 rounds. So nice that I really like that point. And again, in the beginning when you said that, you know, Krishna is real and this material world is real. It is created by Krishna. So we should understand that we are not saying this material world is false. That point I really liked. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'm glad you found something that resonated with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Is there any other question or comments? Maybe some of you can share your experiences also, especially here's Lalita. She's experienced Grihastha.
Hare Krishna. Please set my obeisances again, Mata. And I just wanted to say that your Krishna conscious beginning affected my whole journey in this life. When I worked in Montreal, I saw, before ever seeing the devotees, there was a show on the television, Pierre Burton show, and it was Ishan and his first wife.
Oh.
And then I remember my mother and I watched it. And then I used to do the newspaper distribution in the morning, and there was an article about devotees at the temple, and they had them all prostrate on the ground. And I remember just eating my cereal, looking at them all prostrate on the ground.
Well, do you have a picture? Do you have that picture?
No, I don't have. That was a Gazette years and years ago in Montreal.
Would you be able to contact that newspaper for that picture and see if you could get it?
I could try. I tried for a long time trying to get the Pierre Burton show that had the devotees on it. But anyway, at one point...
The point there is just what you said. We all did our prostrate Dandavat obeisances in those days.
That's right.
And... you know, there's some people who like to deny that, but the fact is we did. In front of Prabhupada, and there was never for him any correction. And on top of that, in New Vrindavan, there was one time there was an initiation, and one of the ladies was in the kitchen and they forgot to call her. So then Satsarup realized, oh, wait a minute, there's, you know, they thought they were finished. So wait a minute, Prabhupada, there's one more lady. So she came, she was called in, and he, you know, what are the four regulations and do we chant? And, you know, and then he gave her name, which was Krishna Kumari. And then she starts to back away to make obeisances. Like, I see people doing this, like walking away, and he calls her back and it goes like this. He wanted her in front of him and like, you know, like that of us, you know, and she was, I mean, it was just like, it wasn't a big thing then, but it's become a big thing now, you know, like, and something that Prabhupada himself was comfortable with. So anyway, I know that's not what you were about to say, but I was like, I have a few pictures that shows devotees making, you know, ladies with full dandavats in front of Srila Prabhupada. And it seemed to me that what you just described would be another one. That's why I'm interested.
Yes. No, it's true. And everyone, I joined in 74, which is 9 years after. And everyone said Prabhu to everybody because we were honoring the Krishna within their heart. But anyway, I was going to say, I moved into Montreal from home. And I was in an apartment and I had the Krishna Conscious album. And I would play it and I'd be running around the dining room table listening with all my cats running with me. And then at the dong, I'd offer my obeisances. And I wanted to join the temple and I had all these cats. And I mentioned it at work and the people came that night and took the cats. And all of a sudden, I'm in Montreal Temple.
Hey, cool.
Yes. So you affected my whole journey in this life. And you mentioned the deities of Jagannath. So when I lived in California, I'm now in North Carolina. We moved here 2019.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yes, it's at the Prabhupada Village, Sandy Ridge.
You ran away from California.
I did, because I wanted to have a spiritual life before I died. Anyway, so in the Berkeley Temple, when it's Shaniyatra, everyone's bathing the deities, and I often had the opportunity to be taking them into the room, and I could put my head on Lady Subhadra's toes. But sometimes when they would ask me to help with dressing the deities, Lord Jagannath was kind of big for me. And when I was trying to tie things on Balaram, I'm hugging him. I'm basically hugging Balaram. And once for a Rath Yatra in the vehicle going to the Rath Yatra site, that was my duty, was to hold Balaram and Srimati Tulsi. And I figure, even though I'm not a good devotee, some of these moments, they're eternally my treasures. And you're interlinked with them all. So thank you.
I love hearing stories of Jagannath, because pastimes, like I have several from, you know, the beginning moment in 67, how he came and the instructions Prabhupada gave and some of the incidents involving Jagannath, you know, but his pastimes are ever unfolding. So it's really nice to hear that.
Thank you for your wonderful.
And actually, I forgot to mention one thing. Prabhupada said that deity worship is particular for grihastras, and grihastras who don't worship the deity, he said, will most assuredly fall down. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mata. Hare Krishna.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Dandat Pranam. Please accept my Dandat Pranam. So I have one question that in earlier days, I read stories of all the devotees, like just you mentioned about yourself and other devotees in those days. Though they were grahastha, like most of them were grahasthas, but practically they were living the life of vanprasthas or sannyasis. Like we just read that householder duty is to earn and maintain the family, which is kind of the norm now as we see around. But in those days, even grahasthas were like living a life of practically a vanprasthi, you know, because we are bare minimum, doing whatever is needed to keep body and soul together and 100% dedicated to the movement. So what has changed? Like, is it just time, place, circumstance, or how we can see that if I have to get that mood, or I have to even, like, can't even think of attempting that. So yeah. What makes you, like, you know, or devotees in those times, that just completely go and follow that route. And now it's so hard to do that.
Do you like living in the material world?
Not at all.
Well, that should be enough impetus right there. We were fed up beyond the top of our skull, top of our brain. But we didn't know what else there could be until we didn't know that there was something other than the hellish situations we were observing all around us and were even part of until Srila Prabhupada came. Mm-hmm. So it's not that everybody has to do what we did. I mean, it was, you could say, situational. There wasn't a movement. But Prabhupada had this wonderful vision and this incredibly compassionate desire to assist Lord Chaitanya's mission. And he was given that order by his spiritual master. And he always would request his disciples, his students. Often he called us his students. Mm-hmm. I think for the American mindset, maybe saying students is more palatable than saying disciples, because it seems, and anyways, that's another story. But anyway, I lost my train of thought while I was going to mention this. I do that a little bit, started to tell you something. Oh, that's coming right out of my mind. Anyways, it's not that it has to be that way now. It kind of had to be that way then, because mm-hmm. there was no precedent mm-hmm. and there was no movement. Mm-hmm. And even though we didn't ourselves think about, oh, he's an old man, he may die at any moment, Prabhupada certainly did. And he would remind us. And he would say, so I want you boys and girls to push on this movement. So this phrase, push on this movement, is a standing order for everyone at all times. Mm-hmm. Now, for the Grihastha, it may not mean going out on the street 5 or 10, 5 hours a day or 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. I was telling about how Prabhupada described what you do in your own home as a Grihastha. Mm-hmm. But definitely helping push on the movement should be formal. We've accepted initiation. We've accepted the mercy of the spiritual master, which is, in our case, dependent on the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, we should reciprocate. And the best way to reciprocate is to help him push on the movement according to our ways and means.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mother. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Okay, so.
Hare Krishna. If yes. No one have any further questions, we can end the call here. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you and we look forward to your association again and again in the future. Let's pay obeisance to Prabhu and all assembled devotees. And all assembled devotees ki jai.
Lord Premanandi.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
So beautiful to see you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, brother. Beautiful class.
Thank you so much.